Hi, everyone. Welcome to Food. I'm Kate Bittman. Thanks for being here. Any feedback, questions, and comments are more than welcome. Email us at food@markbittman.com. And please remember to join us online at bittmanproject.com. Last week, Mark wrote about Tokyo, which he and Kathleen found endlessly fascinating. From its extreme livability to the feel of true community to the terrific food, which they tried a lot of. Plus, an interview with Austin Frerich, who wrote the intriguing book Barons, Money, Power, and the Corruption of America's Food Industry, which provides a portrait of our food system through stories of its oligarchs. And Erica Houle wrote about my new favorite thing, breakfast potatoes, but not the way you're used to them. BittmanProject.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I'm going to segue right now into installment number 4 of my interview with food stylist Barrett Washburn. This week we talked about essential food styling tools, like a paintbrush and Barrett's favorite spoon, plus his number one tip for taking better food pics. After that, Mark will be introducing our very special Earth Day guest, Bill McKibben. Note that this is a brand new interview with Bill, not the one from a couple years ago. Thanks again for being here. What are the food stylist's equivalent tools to other cosmetic and beauty industries?
I mean, I do use a lot of paintbrushes, all different sizes, for like brushing on that little bit of oil, getting crumbs off the surface, moving things around. The offset spatula, small offset spatula, is a major tool. Use it for everything. So I always wear like a Carhartt apron, and I have my favorite tools like in the pockets right there. Because if I'm really bad about setting things down and then forgetting where they are. So if it's not attached to me, it's not a good thing. So what do I have in my pockets? I have an offset spatula, paintbrushes. I have my tweezers. I have spoons. So I have like little spoons, big spoons. Grey Goose spoons are my favorite spoons for like bigger things. It's like the, if you work in a restaurant in New York, it's like mandatory to have in your kit. I like a spritz bottle. I like these little like pipettes that you buy. Like you can get like 1,000 of them in a bag for, you know, like $20 from Amazon. They're just little disposable pipettes. Those are great. You know, and then I have other things like a heat gun, blow torches, things like that. Those are important. But that's like the majority of what I use.
Okay. This question is more of a photography question, but if you have anything, weigh in. Yeah. And if you don't, that's fine too. But what's your number one tip for getting better cell phone food pictures at home?
Number one tip is put it next to a window. Natural light is your best friend. If you notice, like, I rarely ever post anything that I make for dinner because it's nighttime, or like from a restaurant. Like, I may put it in my stories, but like, if you really want a good quality photo, like, do it during the day next to a window, not in like direct sunlight, just like ambient light from the side. Go overhead. Overhead is generally always the most pleasing angle. And that's really it. Find like a cool surface you have in your apartment. It might be the floor. It might be your coffee table, but or a piece of fabric. But overhead, natural light.
It's like the best place to take a food photo is literally in the bathroom. Like, our bathroom is such nice light. And I'm like, can I? This is disgusting. Yeah. But it looks so good in the photo.
I did a whole Food Network television show. And in one of the places, it was a diner. We were redoing the diner. And the best place for us to shoot the beauties was in the bathroom on top of the toilet.
Listen, it's not like the toilet's open and spewing anything. It's closed.
No. Yes. There were two bathrooms. Somebody was using the other bathroom. It's fine.
Thank you to Barrett, who is quickly becoming one of my favorite people. More from him next week. And now, Mark will introduce today's incredible guest, Bill McKibben.
I have had the honor of interviewing Bill McKibben several times over the year, on stages, on television, on Zooms. And his message has been, in one way, unwavering, and in another, evolving. The first of those messages has always been that human activity, mostly involving fossil fuels, is cooking the planet. The evidence for that has become stronger with each passing year, and you'll hear us discuss that. One parallel and also barely changing theme is that the fossil fuel companies have and continue to conspire to maintain the status quo of using coal and oil and gas to power the economy and much of what we do in it, despite their occasional lip service to alternative ways of powering industry and transportation. The other main theme is about how much progress has been made and how much can be made and how wrong the early naysayers were when they poo-pooed wind and solar as possible alternatives. Those forms of clean, non-polluting power now becoming the majority in many parts of the world. The conflict is really a power struggle between those who will not sacrifice profit to literally save a portion of the world and its population, and those who will work to overturn a human-caused tragedy that can indeed be remedied. Bill has long been at the forefront of that fight. He wrote the groundbreaking End of Nature in 1989, sounding a clarion call in the struggle. Uncontent to remain an author and teacher, he founded and led for many years 350.org, an activist organization which organized tens of thousands of events and protests and marches over the following years. He's led a variety of different related movements and most recently founded Third Act, a group encouraging senior citizens like himself and me to get involved in the climate and other movements. We talk about all of these things, and as usual, Bill has an extraordinary way of making the complex seem simple. It's a great conversation, an entertaining one, a serious one, and I hope you'll continue to listen to it. It'll be worth it for you. Here we go. Bill, thanks for joining me.
What a pleasure to be with you as always, friend.
It seems like every year or two, we get together and talk about climate or food or both. And whenever we do, we say things like 2019 or 2020 or 2021 or whatever was the hottest year on record. And
well, 2023 crushed them all and by a huge margin. 2023 was actually a scary, even for those of us who've been working on this a very long time, a scary breakout moment in the climate story. The temperatures last year were not just the highest we've ever recorded, and we have, you know, thermometers going back a couple of hundred years. The scientists are completely convinced that they were the highest temperatures in at least 125,000 years. Mm-hmm. 125,000 years ago was when humans began etching symbols on bones. So nobody with anything that we would recognize as a kind of culture or society has lived on a planet as hot as the one we're on now. And so far, 2024 is beating 2023. So,
January was the hottest January on record.
Yeah. Each of the last 9 months have been the hottest, you know, June, July, August, September we've ever recorded.
You know, needless to say, all of this has an impact, and that impact is more often felt in the global South than in the North, which is responsible for much of the generation of greenhouse gas and always has been. World leaders appear to be paying attention at this point, and there are pledges to change things. But, well, let me just ask you, where are things at, and what are the reasons for us to be hopeful if there are any?
Well, at the moment, I think we're kind of backsliding, to tell you the truth. The banks and other big financial institutions 3 or 4 years ago were making a lot of promises. They were scared by Greta Thunberg and the bus that she and 10 million young people had kicked up. But they think that's safely died down a little bit now. So they're busily going back on all those promises quite explicitly. The fossil fuel industry just this last month had their big annual meeting in Houston. And the head of Saudi Aramco, the biggest oil company on earth, said, it's time to stop this fantasy of phasing out fossil fuel. So they're not feeling like they have to even talk a good game at this point. However, the good news, to the extent that there is that 2023 saw more renewable energy installed than we've ever seen before, and by a pretty large margin. By the summer, when those temperatures were going off the charts, was installing the rough equivalent of a new plant's worth of solar panels a day. Now, about half of that was in China, but that still leaves a fair amount in the rest of the world. And thanks to Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, more of that is happening in the U.S. Things are coming online. It's not yet happening fast enough, but it's very clear that the technology exists to allow us to make a rapid transition. We could stop setting things on fire on planet Earth. Anything. We don't need a fire under the hood of your car because you can have an electric vehicle instead of a spark plug. You don't need a fire in your basement because we can have a heat pump instead of a furnace. You don't need a fire in your power plant because we can capture the sun's rays directly and take advantage of the fact that it differentially heats the earth, creating that breeze that turns those turbines. You don't even need a fire in your kitchen anymore because we have, at least I have, induction cooking. Don't ask me how it works. Magnets. You know, but it works great. I'm the cook in our house with my trusty copy of How to Cook Everything, always close at hand. And induction cooking is a particularly nice form of magic. So we could turn off the fires and rely on the fact that the good Lord was kind enough to hang a large ball of burning gas 93 million miles up in the sky. Mm. We're in a position to turn to energy from heaven instead of energy from hell. And we could do it fast. We've got to get the fossil fuel industry out of the way. And their business model, you know, they're determined to defend. The reason they hate this transition is because the sun delivers energy for free. And if you're Exxon, you think that's the stupidest business model anyone ever invented because you made yourself rich by making sure that people had to pay every month of their lives for another delivery.
Just to be clear, I know we've had this conversation several times, and I want to make sure that I just want to check that your position hasn't changed. This is really the crux of the issue, that fossil fuel companies have enough power to continue to take oil out of the ground and sell it to us and keep us reliant on it. And the real answer to that is renewables. And renewables require policy change, basically.
Yes, those things are all true. I mean, there are, I suppose, other ways we could go about this, i.e. we could radically, radically reduce demand for energy and use a lot less. Truthfully, I don't think that's likely to happen in the time that we have. I do not think that humans are going to change their appetites that dramatically in that period of time. We got to continue working in that direction in lots of ways, including in the food that we eat and the way that we organize our agriculture. But given that we have, according to the scientists, until about 2030 to cut emissions in half, the bulk of that's going to have to come from replacing coal and gas and oil with electrons from the sun.
I think solar is scheduled to pass coal in global energy production in this year and next, right?
Yes, and it's 80 or 85% of new energy installations at the moment are renewable. So we're definitely headed in the right direction, but we've got to be aggressively shutting down the dirty energy part. Sadly, we're also trying to continue expanding those. We just had a big battle this autumn that Third Act helped organize to persuade the Biden administration to at least pause the permitting for new liquefied natural gas export facilities in the U.S. That may sound like an arcane piece of policy. In fact, it's diffusing the biggest carbon bomb left on planet Earth. U.S. natural gas exports are the fastest growing fossil fuel thing that there is. And if Biden hadn't taken that step, by 2030, the greenhouse gas emissions, carbon and methane, from U.S. LNG exports would be larger than all the greenhouse gas emissions from Europe. Every car and home and factory from Athens to Helsinki would be producing fewer greenhouse gas emissions than just exported natural gas from the U.S. So if you think that, say, presidential elections don't matter that much, they do, because Donald Trump has already declared that he will become a dictator on day one in order to drill, drill, drill. So if you want a stark choice in your political life this year, you've got one.
Stay tuned for more from Bill and Mark.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, folks. We have a new sponsor and an interesting one. We all take about 20,000 breaths a day, and Americans spend about 90% of our time indoors. That indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. And indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So, what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code BITMAN, B-I-T-T-M-A-N, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to our listeners, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's airdoctorpro.com, and use the promo code BITMAN.
Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out? I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that. Available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the multi-terrain select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. I wanted to ask if there are countries that are modeling things better than we are and what that looks like, what it takes to make this transition happen in different countries and what might happen here if we were to have a sort of progressive national government.
We're starting to move in powerful ways here. The Inflation Reduction Act did commit serious sums of money to making this happen, and it's beginning to happen. But we start from quite a ways behind, and there are countries that are doing much more. The Chinese now lead the world in renewable energy production and by a not insignificant margin. They really have put this stuff to work. Another place that's probably more useful for comparison is Germany. Germany is, you know, no one ever went to Germany for a beach vacation. So you wouldn't think of it as a power paradise, but they're now, as of this year, at about 50% of their power coming from renewable energy.
Unbelievable.
And it's been jump-started by Putin's evil invasion of Ukraine. It convinced the Germans and Europe in general that they did not want to be dependent on Vladimir Putin for their supplies of things like natural gas. They've been getting some from us, but mostly what they've been doing is converting very quickly to renewable energy and everything that goes with it, heat pumps instead of furnaces, for instance.
And what is that? What is national support to encourage people to do that look like? Or what is federal action there look like?
Well, so in our country, it looks like a bunch of different things. Some of the pieces we already have in place. Our biggest uses of energy are, one, transportation. And so the policy demanding that the auto industry be producing just electric vehicles by 2035 is really important. The Biden administration backslid on it a little bit this year under pressure from not only the auto companies, but the auto unions. But they're headed in the right direction, and California, which can set its own standards, is pushing hard. We need federal policy to allow quickly more construction and transmission of renewable energy. We've got to get built those transmission lines and things in as many places as we can. And we have to tackle the fact that we have a lot of old buildings that are going to be here a long time that need to be retrofitted and changed. And that's starting to happen. New York City has a new set of laws demanding that big buildings quickly retrofit to become far, far more efficient. And I think that that will actually work out pretty well because those big buildings and big landlords are already seeing big savings as they do this.
Mm-hmm.
The happy secret of this work is, in the long run, and really in the medium run, it's a lot cheaper to do things cleanly than it is to keep buying huge amounts of dirty energy.
Still, and I'm not being argumentative, but as you said, Germany is making this transition, at least in part or in some large part, because it's got problems getting fossil fuels that we don't have problems getting because we're a net producer. So then it gets back to the question of how you conquer or how you limit what fossil fuel companies can do.
How you break their power. So there's, you know, you can, we do it to some degree politically. Electing Biden last time was really important. Giving him a Senate with just enough senators, even with Joe Manchin there to get through something, was really important. We also do it financially. Third Act, you know, which I organize now for old people like me. We did a huge campaign last year on the four big banks, Chase, Citi, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, that are also the four biggest funders in the world of the fossil fuel industry. Mm. We want them to stop. To get their attention, we had began with a huge day of action in 100 cities across America. I was in D.C. where we've cut down the banks for the afternoon with the big sit-in. We're too old to sprawl on the sidewalk for hours at a time. So we'd gone to the Goodwill and gotten every rocking chair in the greater Washington area and cut it down with people sitting in rocking chairs. And the Times had a big story the next day about the rocking chair rebellion that was sweeping the country. So we were very happy at Third Act.
I got to see some photos from that. I missed that.
It was good fun and successful in that the banks are at least acknowledging and talking with us. Though, as I said, they've backslid a lot over the last couple of years, which is why we have to take action. They made pledges, and now they're going back on those pledges.
Look, I'd like you to talk about Third Act a little bit, because as an elder, it interests me, but also in a lot of what you've said about it, the kind of time older people have and the kind of commitments they can make makes a lot of sense.
So I confess I sort of began it because I got tired of hearing people my age say, oh, it's up to the next generation to solve these problems, which seems A, ignoble, but B, also impractical. We've got a few years to do this. Kids now in high school don't have time to grow up and become CEOs and senators and, you know, whatever else. For all their energy and intelligence and idealism, young people by themselves lack the structural power to make change in the time that we have. If you look around for who has structural power, a kind of good guide, I think, is if there's beginning to be hair coming out your ears, there's probably structural power coming out your ears too. There are 70 million people over the age of 60 in America, 10,000 more every day, which is more than the number of people born in this country every day. Not only are there a lot of us, we punch above our weight politically because we all vote. There's no known way to stop old people from voting. And we ended up with most of the money. We got about 70% of the country's financial assets, fair or not. So if you want to push around Wall Street or Washington, it doesn't hurt to have some people, hairlines like mine, engaged in this fight. Now, people were dubious when we started Third Act because the political scientists are convinced that people become more conservative as they age. And there may have been a time when that was true, but I think it's not so true anymore. If you're in your 60s or 70s or 80s now, it means that your first act was in this period of great social, economic, political change in the 1960s and 1970s. If you haven't, you know, the moment when we started taking women seriously in public life, the apex of the civil rights movement, the first Earth Day in 1970, when 20 million Americans went into the streets, 10% of the then population, the biggest demonstrations in American history. And enough that within a few years, we had the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. You know, the air got cleaner and so did the water. If you have any doubt about how important those years were, look at what our retrograde Supreme Court has gone after in its, you know, rampage in the last couple of years. The Voting Rights Act of 1965, the Gun Control Act of 1968, the Clean Air Act of 1971, and Roe v. Wade 1973. Get to live our lives under these protections. We won these fights in the first place, them again. And that's why I think people, you know, we have about 80,000 people now in Third Act. We've got chapters in every state across the country. We're making lots and lots of good trouble. And It's been not only encouraging to us, it's actually also really encouraging to the young people that we work closely with to feel not abandoned.
We're running this interview just before Earth Day, and I don't have a lot to say about Earth Day. I wonder if how relevant it still is.
Earth Day has been somewhat, I think in its current form, slightly captured over the years by a sort of corporate influence, and it's probably more important historically. But it's good to have a focus for, even for a day on this stuff. But I do think that we need more of it, and I hope that it's not long before we have, a sun day and a sky day. And, this is by far the deepest problem that we've ever wandered into, our species. Nothing even comes close. And so we need to be, it needs to be the lens now through which we understand the world. The lens for the last 100 years has been an almost purely economic one. If something made the economy larger, then we did it. That was basically what government policy amounted to in one way or another. And boy, did it work. The economy got really big. The lens through which we need to look at the world now is different. Does this thing contribute to our survival or not?
I think finally, there's something like 40 important elections happening around the world this year, and unquestionably the most important of those is in the United States. What's your involvement in that? What's the level of importance we might discuss about that?
Well, look, by this point, we're all tired of hearing that this is the most important election of our lifetimes and things. But what can I tell you? I mean, you've got a guy who's the two things we care about at Third Act, most of all, are climate and democracy. On democracy, we've got a guy who clearly doesn't respect the idea that you should have elections and the person who wins them should get to govern.
Yes.
Look, when I talk with young people, they know that Donald Trump's a bad guy, but I don't think they understand the way that older people do just how completely different he is from every other. There's plenty of presidents that I haven't liked in my lifetime, but there's never been a president that I wouldn't have like left my daughter with for 10 minutes while I went to this store to get some milk. This guy is sick in profound ways. And one of the ways is his unwillingness to grasp in any way that we have to deal with the physical world around us. He's announced that there'll be a complete end. And the Heritage Foundation has put forward this document, Project 2025, that he promised to follow, that rolls back every single environmental regulation that we have, that ends the move towards electric vehicles and electric bikes and public transportation. It just clings with every fiber in its being to some vision of the past. And that vision of the past is going to produce a future that, if it isn't hell, will be a similar temperature. The bottom line around this election is, someone just published a study saying Trump's election would produce an extra 4 billion tons of CO2 over his term, which is roughly equivalent to the annual production of the EU and Japan combined. Mm. So, look, I don't think our democracy can survive another Trump presidency, and I don't think our climate can really survive it either. This is a high stakes election. That's why I'm glad we've got, 80,000 people at Third Act doing everything they can.
So clearly, people who want to work on the election can join Third Act. What else would you advise people to be doing in the next, 6 months?
Well, there's tons of things that people can be doing, on their own around all these issues and things. But truthfully, we're at a moment when we need to work together. That's why we build organizations. Americans default towards a kind of individualism always. We are past the point where we save the world one Tesla at a time, you know, one vegan dinner at a time. The most important thing an individual can do is be a little less of an individual and join together with others in movements large enough to make a difference. That's why we build these movements, so that we can leverage people's action ability. And if we do, then we do okay. I'll say it again. The first Earth Day in 1970 had 10% of the then population in the streets. Turns out 10% of people engaged is enough. Change the zeitgeist and then change the outcome. So that's what we aim for.
That's great, Bill. I think we'll stop here. Thank you for that.
Fantastic.
Really is good. You're inspirational. And take care.
Take care, man.
Okay. Bye, Bill.
Bye.
Thank you to Bill McKibben and to my regular co-host, Mark. Follow Bill on X at Bill McKibben. It's MCKIBBEN. And to get involved with Third Act, follow Third Act Org on X and Instagram. And thank you again to Barrett Washburn. He's on Instagram at BWASHBU. Thank you, as always, to our engineer, Davis Lloyd, for being awesome. See you next week.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com